Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So let's all go in our Bibles to Genesis 3, verse number 8. Genesis 3, verse number 8, and a very familiar passage of Scripture. Let's see what the Lord will say to us this morning. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I hid myself. It's very interesting because this is the first example in the Bible of someone who walked with God. We see in the first verse, in verse number 8, it says, the Lord God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And the Bible, actually, if you study it in the Hebrew, most of the scholars agree that the cool of the day is actually the afternoon. And that this was something that God would do regularly, if not every day, with Adam and Eve. He would come in the afternoon and walk with them and spend time with them and have relationship with them. And so it's very interesting because we see that God would do this on an ongoing basis with them. But how many of you know Adam and Eve sinned? And straight after they sinned, they did something that most of us do when we mess up. They hid from God. They hid themselves from God. And so it is with so many of us when things don't go smoothly or challenges come our way and the pressure comes and sin comes, whatever it is. Instead of walking with God like He wants to do with us, we decide rather to hide ourselves from Him. So we stop praying, we stop having intimacy with Him, we stop having relationship with Him. And some of us have never even had that. And the reality is, as a believer, God's desire with man is to walk with man. He wants to walk with us. What we need to understand, and many of us, you know, don't maybe realize this, is God didn't really need to create us. Because God already had communion with Himself. How many of you know, this is my beloved Son? So the Father has relationship and love and intimacy with the Son. Paul says that the Holy Spirit also loves. So the Trinity has communion with each other. So they have relationship. God has someone to be in relationship with. But He made a decision to create man. So often I hear men say, well, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair. Well, it is fair. Actually. You darn lucky. Hello? We don't know how fortunate we are, actually, that God would actually want to have communion with you, that He would want to walk with you. It is so mind-blowing that He would want to create us to have this relationship and walk with us. But as we see very clearly, that as soon as man messes up, man has a tendency to turn away from God. And so it isn't God who turned His back on man. It was man who turned their back on God. Amen. So God no longer walked with Adam the way He did. But if we study the Scriptures, we'll find that it wasn't too long down the line, down the genealogy of Adam. Adam had Seth, and then so on it went down the line. And we get to an interesting character by the name of Enoch. And let's go take a look at it real quick. In Genesis 5, 21. Genesis 5, 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Now, I'd like to add this, but I mean, I won't. But it says, and he was not, for God took him. And it actually, I mean, you could basically say, and Enoch walked with God, and he walked so much with God that God took him. So Adam had this intimacy with God, walked with God, so close to God, but so did Enoch. Enoch also chose to not submit to what was going on at that time and made a decision that he was going to serve God. He was going to follow God. If God required something from him, he would do his best to please and do that for the Lord. Amen. And so Enoch walked with God and had this intimate relationship, so much so that the Bible says that he was and then he was not, because God took him. Now we can talk all day. I mean, when it comes to Enoch, I could go on for hours. I love Enoch and the story of Enoch, and I've studied apocryphal books, the book of Enoch and all that stuff. I enjoy that so much, and I could tell you stuff about Enoch that'll blow your mind. What I can tell you, and this is for sure, because the scripture says it, that he walked with God in an incredible way. Now, it's very interesting because the Bible doesn't say this about many characters in the Bible, but it says it with Adam and it says it with Enoch. And not too long after Enoch, we see another character come on the scene. Someone again who wouldn't submit to the craziness, the disorder, the disobedience, the perversity, and everything that was taking place on this earth. And that person's name was Noah. Let's take a look. Genesis 6, verses 6 to 9. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. Now watch. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Now watch. Noah walked with God. If you walk with God, it doesn't matter what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what perversity is going on around you. It doesn't matter what season we are in at the moment. God takes you out of that season. You see, the Bible says that there was grace for Noah. Why? Because Noah walked with God. If you walk with God, if you choose to follow him, if you choose to take him by the hand and walk with him, he takes you out of the circumstances that surround you. Amen. Listen to me. Right now, on this planet, and especially right here in the United States where we live, it is chaos all around us. And the Bible says, when Jesus was asked, what is the sign of your coming? The greatest sign, because he says there'll be these things, there'll be pestilence, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be all this. And at the end, he pretty much says, those things will happen. But the sign is that will be like it was in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? What's happening right now? Those things that are evil are called good. Those things that are not right are called good. And it's the same. It's perversity and all kinds of things going on. Yes, there was a spiritual application, which I don't want to get into this morning. But the reality is that God is looking to and fro on this earth and saying, who is it that will walk with me? Who is it that will walk with me? Who is it that will take me by the hand? Who is it that will not call those things that are evil good? Amen. And so we see that Noah also walked with God. And if we look after the flood, we see a peculiar character by the name of Abram or Abraham. In Genesis 17, verse number 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late, 99 years old, and only now he discovers his destiny. And only now he discovers his purpose. Amen. Oh, well, you know, Pastor Alex, I'm so old. No, you're not old. It's time. It's time. It is time. I'm telling you now, it's time. Amen. God is busy right now. Don't miss the hour of your visitation. Don't miss the hour, the season that God is busy with right now. Listen, there are people sitting in this room and you are so uncomfortable because the truth is busy hitting you right between the eyes. Because it is time. Amen. 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 So in Genesis 17, verse number 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Do you see the condition of the promise? The condition is you must walk with me in order to fulfill the plan, the purpose, the destiny that I have for you. You must walk with me. And so he did. And so he fulfilled destiny. Was he perfect? No. Thank God. Otherwise, there'd be no hope for us. Amen. Certainly for me, there'd be no hope. But because I see these characters in the Bible who were not perfect, but made a decision to do what God said. When they messed up, they got up and they continued to pursue God, to walk with God with all of their heart. Amen. So we see God. Amen. We see God with individuals. But there came a time where God no longer wanted an individual, but he wanted a people. He wanted a whole people, his people that were called by his name to fulfill the promises that were made to Abraham. And so it was that God called the Israeli people. And I want you to see what he says to them in Exodus 6, verse number 6. Are you guys all okay? Amen. Amen. Exodus 6, verse number 6. Therefore, say to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice how many times God speaks about himself and what he's going to do for the children of Israel if they walk with him. Watch this. Say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Isn't that powerful? So God gives this incredible promise to the children of Israel. And he's basically all he wants is for them to walk with him. He makes this incredible promise. And let me tell you, nothing has changed. You have a promise too, and we'll get to that. But are you going to be like the children of Israel? Or are you going to say, Lord, I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to walk with you? Are you going to fulfill the promise? Listen, there are prophecies in the Bible that must come to pass. What generation is going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to take it. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Yes, Lord, I'm tired of prophesying about the next generation. This generation must fulfill the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch. The people of Israel did not listen to his voice. Watch what he says in Psalm 81, verse number 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there's the key. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. This is a word to God's people. In other words, this is a word to you and to me. We have all, most of us sitting here, are already saved. We are already his people, just like the children of Israel that were already his people. And this word is going out and he's saying to us, will you listen to me? Will you not follow other gods? Will you not worship any foreign god? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I don't know about you, but I thank God every day I'm not where I used to be. I might not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Amen. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Now watch. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. In other words, they chose not to walk with me, says the Lord. They chose to walk in their own ways. I will soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. So this is what God wants to do. And this is what He does to the enemy when you walk with Him. He will wipe out the enemy. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to Him, but their faces would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. This is what God has for us. Are you not His children? What are you going to do, guys? What are we going to do? And I'm including myself in this. What am I going to do? Am I going to choose to walk in my own ways? Or am I going to say, Father, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I'm so tired of this flesh. I'm so tired of trying to satisfy myself. I'm so tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way. I want to follow you. I want to heed your voice. If you call it evil, then it's evil. If you say it's not right, then it's not right. I'm not going to try and theologically prove that what you said yesterday doesn't apply today. I'm sick and tired of it. Amen. It's time for us to say, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. Amen. So God has always had a desire to bless His children, to walk with them, to wipe out the enemy that faces you. Do you know that the Bible says that He will make your path straight? But try and walk that path on your own, and it ain't going to be straight. It is only straight when you walk hand in hand with Him, because the challenges come, but then He sorts them out. Oh, well, you know, Pastor Alex, I was promised it would be all easy when I got saved. Well, whoever told you that lied to you. It's not going to always be easy. It's going to be tough sometimes. But if you're walking with Him, He will make your path straight. He will sort out the enemy. Listen, your enemy is not Donald Trump. Your enemy is the enemy of your soul. The enemy is the one trying to stop you. The enemy is the one trying to distract you. The enemy is the one trying to take you away from God, to separate your relationship with God. The enemy is the one who is against your soul. Amen. Amen. And it's exciting because we live in a far greater dispensation. We live in the time of Jesus. And so the Lord made a promise to you and I. We live in a far greater dispensation. How many of you know the Holy Spirit lives inside you? Now watch this, because it's very powerful. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 16. I'll give you a minute to get there. 2 Corinthians 6:16, because if there's anything you want to underline, it's this. I think we need to start bringing our Bibles back to church. Amen. Come on, I need more amens than that. Amen. You're all digitalized. Me too. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them. Now watch. And will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out. Now, there's the key. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And there's the promise that He will live in you, but He will also walk among you and walk with you. But let me tell you something. He does live in us all, but He doesn't walk with us all. Because there's a condition. Oh, they don't like to preach this stuff anymore. I don't know about you, but I want revival. Amen. I want revival. I want a move of God. I want transformation in our city. This church is all about transformation. We want to see transformation, because transformation is the fruit on the tree. Unless your life is changing, unless you're serving Him, unless you're following Him, unless you hunger after Him, I fail. I fail as a pastor. It doesn't matter how great my church looks. It doesn't matter how many people I have. Unless you are changing, there's no fruit on the tree. There must be transformation in the heart. We must walk with God. Yes, it's true. Why am I like this? Because I am passionate about it. I love Him. I worship Him. Listen, I try my best to be the same all the time. I don't always get it right. But I try my best. But what matters to me as your pastor, as the pastor of this house, is your relationship with Him is the most important thing to me. If I see you worshiping and loving and serving Him and walking with Him, we're doing something right. Amen. Is that okay?
Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Now watch. There is a condition to walking with God. Amos 3, verse number 3. Amen. Can two walk together unless they agree? The reality is if God says this and we decide because of our rights that we're not going to follow Him and do what He says, then we are setting ourselves up to not walk with Him. Not because He doesn't want to walk with us, but His word never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have to follow Him. You have to agree with Him, and then He walks with you. So let's take a look at it. What do we need to do in order for us to walk with God? Let's go to Galatians 5, 16 to 21. It's very quiet now. Oh, no, not that scripture. Not that funny. That's really not. Okay, Galatians 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The reality is, guys, there is a battle going on, and the battle's on the inside of you. And listen, you can blame the devil all you like, but the reality is, the problem's not the devil. The problem is you. I am my biggest enemy, because there's a battle going on inside me, and my spirit man is saying, come on, Pastor Alex. And my flesh is going, oh, even though Pastor Alex, you need to do what you want to do, because that's the nature of the man. But my spirit man is saying, come on, don't you know your destiny? Don't you know your purpose? Don't you need to step into it? Come on, you can do it. There's the battle raging on the inside of you. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish it happens. But if you are led, now listen, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Man, that's been preached wrong. We're not going to get into that, because I'm going to show you at the end something. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Sorry, the first one was adultery. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the likes of which I tell you, which I tell you beforehand. In other words, these things are against God. I've told you before that they are wrong. Now I'm telling you again. Just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The reality is, if you want to walk with God, you must turn from these things. Listen, you may not get it right all the time, but your heart must be after Him. David also walked with God, which we'll get to in a minute. But David didn't always do things right, but his heart seeked after God, and he always went back to God. You see, when David messed up, he didn't hide. When David messed up, he went into a room and he cried out to God and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." You don't think David was bad? David was a murderer, an adulterer. He was bad. But he was a man after God's heart. I'm not saying you must go murder and have adultery, please. I'm trying to tell you, you mustn't do that stuff. Is that okay? Listen, what you sow, you reap, my friend. God forgives, but you go through stuff in this in life, and it's always because of what we do. But we blame God, but it had nothing to do with Him. Amen. So we see that in order for us to walk with God, we must obey what His Word says. We have to walk like that. We have to be holy. We have to seek after holiness. Amen. Now watch. If you want to walk with God, you must operate with faith and not unbelief. We see in Matthew 13, 58. Let's go to Matthew 13, verse 58. Are you guys still okay? Now, Jesus is in his hometown, and it says this in verse 58. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, the supernatural, the way we as believers are supposed to walk, it cannot manifest in your life if you walk in unbelief all the time. Because even Jesus couldn't do mighty works because of the unbelief. The one thing that frustrated Jesus so much was that spirit, the force of unbelief that came out of the people of God. And we see it when several times throughout Scripture, we see it. And so in order for us to walk with Him and walk out those promises for those who walk with God, unbelief cannot be in you. You have to start to believe. And the way you live your life tells the story of whether you have faith or not. Is that okay? Yes. Amen. So we know the two first things. The one is we have to be obedient to Him. The second is we have to have faith and not walk with unbelief. Those are two vital things in order for us to walk with God. Now watch. The third thing. And this is huge. If you want to walk with God, you must walk before Him humbly. Isaiah 57, verse number 15 says this. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In other words, if you have pride, if you operate with pride, then you cannot walk with God. And I'll show you in a minute why it says that, the scripture that says that. It is not your job to look at other believers and say, oh, that, oh yeah, no, I see that. Oh no, brother. The minute you start comparing yourself to somebody else, brother, you are proud. Amen. Don't examine other people. Examine yourself. Amen. Amen. And you know, don't say you're not proud. We all have to examine ourselves and we have to remain humble. Is that okay? Now watch this. Let's go to Psalm 138, verse number 6. Are you still okay? Amen. All right. Trying to be nice. Psalm 138, verse number 6. Though the Lord is on high, watch this, yet He regards the lowly. But the proud, He knows from afar. In other words, if you walk with God, that means He's walking right next to you. But if you're proud, He knows you from afar. Isn't that powerful? Amen. So we have to guard our hearts. And remember when we approach God, all the time, that we go before Him humbly. Because the reality is, He owes you nothing. He really doesn't. And so when you approach Him, do so humbly. Because He's so good. And I was watching that movie, Case for Christ, with my family this weekend. And at the end of the day, the thing that gets Him, after He does all His research, that Strobos guy, the thing that gets Him is what one man said to Him. And he said, why did Jesus do it? And the answer is love. He did it for you because He loves you. When we start to say, but it's my right and my this and I'm that, what are we doing? We are spitting in His face. Is that okay? Amen. All right. I'm almost done. So we see that we need to be obedient. We see that we need to walk in faith and not unbelief. We see that we need to walk humbly before Him. If you want to walk with Him, these are the things that we need to do. Is that okay? If they say nowadays we don't need to do anything, whatever, that's such a lie from the devil. You try and run your family and do nothing and see how it works. And your relationship with Jesus is very much the same as a family. How do I know? Well, because there's a mystery. And the mystery is this, that Christ and the church is the mystery. And it's compared to a marriage. Why? Because the first thing that takes place when we get married is that someone has to lay their life down. And I teach this to everyone that comes through counseling with me for marriage, to get married, whether you're married or been married or getting married. The first thing, the hardest thing, is that someone must lay down their life. And Jesus laid down His life for us. But guess what? The bride, which is the church, has to do the same thing. Otherwise, the marriage doesn't work. It requires both submitting and laying their life down. And it's the same in your marriage. Don't think because you're the man that you now have the authority. The Bible says that we submit one to another. Is that okay? Of course, Christ is the head, just as the Father is the head of the home. Oh man, I could preach about that for long, but let's move on because it's getting late. Now the fourth key, and I really believe that this is the key that will drive all the other keys and make the other keys become easy for you, is that God walks with those who seek Him. He walks with those who seek after Him. And let's go and take a look how Solomon speaks about his father David. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 6. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father." Now watch. "Because he walked before you in truth in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And have you have continued this great kindness for him. And you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. We see how David walked with God. Now go to Psalm 63, verse number 1, and I'll show you the attitude that David had when he would go before the Lord. Psalm 63, verse number 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. The reality is that David knew the presence of God. He knew the goodness of God. He knew the mercy of God. And you'll find out tonight, because I'm going to be speaking tonight about prophecy and how your personal prophecy, what you must do with it. You'll find out tonight that when David got his prophetic word and even was anointed as king, it didn't go that easily the next day. But there was a key to his success, and that is that he seeked after the Lord. He hungered and he thirsted after the Lord. And let me tell you something. When you have encountered God, when you have had an encounter with his presence, and you must have one, it's for everyone. It is not for the apostles only. It is for you. When you have tasted that, you will never forget it. And no matter how low you go, no matter how bad it gets, there will be a desire on the inside of you that will cry out for that moment again. You see, it was so interesting, and I don't want to get into this too much right now, but I was so fascinated by Brad Huddleston's teaching. But there was one thing, and I'm going to talk to him about this because we're becoming friends now. There's one thing, and that is that a lot of our walk with God bypasses the mind. Okay, take a deep breath, because I'm going to talk about tongues. For example, okay, when you pray in tongues, your frontal lobes do not activate. It's been proven scientifically. They've actually done examinations, experiments on this. That when you pray in tongues, it has nothing to do with your brain. In other words, your soul is bypassed and your spirit is activated. Now, you must understand that when you're operating in the realm of the spirit and you're walking with God, you are not always using, in fact, most of the time your mind is bypassed and you are listening to your spirit man on the inside of you. That's why that battle between the spirit and the flesh, you must win some for the spirit. So that you can grow, so that you can become stronger, so that you can have more authority. Not that you don't have it, but you don't realize it yet. Is that okay? But when you start to hunger and thirst for him, he always comes and walks with you. Let's quickly go to one more scripture and then I'm done. Let's go to Luke 19, verse number 1. Are you guys okay? I'm almost done. Amen. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now I want to stop right there. Nothing has been placed in the Bible by mistake. Remember, I spoke earlier on about how specifically there were certain people that the Bible says walked with God. Now, he has an interesting character, Zacchaeus, who's a tax collector, and the Bible wants you to know that he was a rich man. Why? Because of what he's about to do. Because normally someone with authority and power who's rich and has status in the city doesn't behave like this. Watch. He was a rich man. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. You see, the reality was he could have thought to himself, well, you know, this Jesus who's coming into town should want to come and see me because, you know, of who I am. But the reality is that that's not what took place. Zacchaeus realized that he needed to do something radical. He needed to step out. He needed to do something unusual. So what does he do? Watch verse number 4. Look at what he does. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, can you imagine a grown man climbing up a tree? He looks like a fool. Listen to me. When you come to church, don't worry about the person standing next to you. Lift your hands and begin to worship. Don't worry about your reputation. You see, it took a rich man to climb up in a tree and say, listen, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what people say about me. I want to see this Messiah. I want to see who this Jesus is. I need to see who he is, because he knew that there was something different about him. Now watch. And you see, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Listen to me. When you decide that you're going to put your reputation down, that you're going to worship, that you're going to serve him, that you're going to make it, that you're going to give your life over to him, when you make that decision, that you don't care anymore what people think or what people say, the reality is it's at that moment that God will come and walk with you. The same way that Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to come and visit you. I'm going to come to your house. The same way that he's saying right now to you, if you have an ear to hear, that he will come and he will visit with you. He will come to you right now. Right now. Right now. So Father, this morning in this place, we are here, Lord, and we are thankful. We are thankful that in throughout the Bible, we see examples of how you walked with men. You walked with them, Lord. You gave them favor. And when they fell, you were there to pick them up because their hearts were open to you. And it is right now in this new dispensation that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us and the opportunity to walk with you as well. So many of us, Lord, decide to stay at salvation and don't move past there, when the reality is at that moment that you desire to walk with us and have relationship with us. But is it not so, as it says in the book of Amos, that if we do not agree, how can we walk together? And so this morning, we give ourselves over to you. We submit to your word, and your word is the truth. It's not what some say, but what does your word say? And so it is, Father, that we turn from our wicked ways this morning. We submit and humble ourselves to you. We submit. We listen to what your word says. If your word calls it evil, it's evil. So we submit ourselves to you. We turn from our wicked ways. We humble ourselves this morning, Father. And your word says that when we do that, that you will heal our land. You will heal us. You will deliver us. You will lift us up. It doesn't matter where you are right now in your walk with him. But this morning he's challenging you. And he's saying, I want to walk with you. But you need to come to me. For was it not so that I knocked at the door? I knocked at the door of your heart. And even now I'm knocking at the door of many in this place. And all you need to do is open the door. But now, the word says that he hides himself because he's waiting for you to seek after him. What are you going to do, church? Lord, this morning, we want to worship you. We want to serve you. We want to follow you. We want to walk with you. With all of our hearts, and the presence of God is very strong this morning. He's here. And if you've come here, just dim the lights for me. Please, nobody look around right now. Please. If you've come here this morning and you've never really made Jesus Lord of your life, or you say, Pastor Alex, I need to walk with God. I need to give my life to Him this morning. I want to get serious with God. If that's you, just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you in the back. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you in the back there. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Alex. Thank you, sir. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, me too. Me too. I want to give my life to Him. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you've come here and you say, I've served God, but I've never really walked with Him. And today I want to walk with Him. And you want to rededicate your heart to Him. Just lift your hand. I'll include you. I see that hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you in the back there. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. God bless you, guys. Thank you in the back. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you, guys. Can we all stand for just a moment? If I can ask you this morning, if every one of you can pray this prayer, because we don't want to single out anybody. So if we can all pray this prayer, but for those of you that lifted your hand, if you are serious this morning and you pray this prayer from your heart, then everything will change for you. You see, they call it being born again because your life really only starts now. It's a new beginning. It's a new day for you. And so pray this prayer from the very bottom of your heart, mean it from your heart, and things will change. Let's pray this together. Every single one of you, say, Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, and I give my life to You. I give my heart to You. I want to walk with You. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in Your blood. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Now, Father, make me whole. Make me new. Holy Spirit, come and fill me right now in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. I'm just going to close and I'll release you. Father, we thank You for what You have done this morning in this place. Thank You that Your presence is here, Lord. Thank You that the Word went out and achieved that it was sent out to do, Father. Lord, do not let one of the words that were spoken this morning fall to the ground, but rather let the soil of the heart be prepared and ready to receive what was given this morning. We thank You. We praise and worship You. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this morning. Go in the peace and the love of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.